Good evening, everyone.
I have been talking on a very specific line of, I'll say thought, word. I'm going to continue along in some of those things tonight, but I just really want to kind of, I don't want to say recap, but dive into this thought again and see where it goes, okay? But the basis of where my conscience has been is that Jesus tells Peter or asks the disciples, who do men say that I am? And their response, you know, it's funny, I've said this a lot, like, oh, the response is you're a prophet, some this. But that was their perception. That wasn't just like an answer like, oh yeah, some, they don't really know who you are, some say this. No, that was the perception of those people. They believe that some say you're Elias, some say you're a prophet. That was their perception. And that this is so powerful to look at because God changed the perception for who? For Peter. God, listen to this, God changed the perception of who he was for Peter. Isn't that awesome? God did that. So another part was that God had already spoken and proclaimed that this gift, Jesus, would come and that he would be the Savior of the world. He was the Son of God, right? That he is the Word of God. But I want to revisit that. God changed for Peter who Christ was and is and how important that is. Because what does the Bible say? When you see him as he is, you shall be like him. Was that a beginning for Peter? Was that a beginning to see Jesus according to the Spirit and not according to what man had said who the Messiah would be? It was. And upon that, I mean, you got to think about this. Jesus says, God revealed this to you. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Meaning, they thought he was a prophet. Some even said, isn't this just Mary and Joseph's son? Isn't this just the carpenter's child? Isn't he just a man? Think about that. But God comes in and he starts to work a work to reveal who the Son of God is by the Spirit of God. And he says, wait a minute, let me see what your perception is. Isn't that why he asked? Who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, did he have some understanding or revelation come to him on who Jesus was and how important it was to receive him in the manner that it was given to him in? It was, too. It was so important that Jesus said, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this revelation, that I am that Christ. Because you can see me as the Father sees me, right? Wasn't that what he said? Or what he was saying? As God has revealed this to you, you're seeing as God sees me. And because God opened your eyes to this, I'm going to build my church. And my church will not be in the thought or the conscience or the doctrines of men. It would be by what? His word. His power, his spirit, his faithfulness, his will. Where are we in all of this? Has God come forth to speak to us and reveal to us that Jesus is the Christ? Oh, I believe that as a whole he has. But I believe there is going to be and has already been for some and going to be for others where that is going to be revealed within your heart that you could stand and say, Lord, you are the Christ, not I, but you. In fact, Paul says, it's not anything that I do. I can do nothing without Christ. He said, but by the grace of God, I am who I am. And what else? What did he say? Go ahead, Kelly. No? He said, it's not I that doeth this work, but it's the grace of God that is in me. It's Christ. And the powerful thought behind that we begin to see, Peter began to see it and actually proclaim these things. And God said, now it's time. I'm going to build this church, my church? Were there still things within the heart that needed to be addressed? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, there was a beginning when Jesus began to talk to the disciples and the crowds, and he said, he's talking to them about the bread. And he asked them a question. Maybe I'll need to go back over there to refresh my mind on the specific question he asked. Megan, maybe you can find that in John 6. But he's talking to them, and he reveals to them about this bread. The bread that the children of Israel ate in the wilderness was not the manna. It was not the bread from heaven. It was not the true bread, the Bible says. Did you find that, Megan? What's that question for us?
It says our fathers, so, all right, we'll start verse 30. It says, they said therefore unto him, what signs showest you then that we may see and believe you? What do you work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which comes down from heaven and gives life unto the world.
Yeah, listen to that. The bread of God, the bread of life, Jesus is he who came down from heaven. What revelation did Peter have? You are the Son of God. You are Christ. You came down from heaven. You came with the keys of the kingdom. Because he promised Peter, he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And guess what you're going to have? I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. What were those keys? Was it not every teaching, every doctrine, every word that was given by the mouth of Jesus? Was that not the keys of heaven? Was that not to bring him into the church that God was establishing for him? Was it not to show him that in me, Peter, you are built up, you are raised up, follow me, come, come and follow me. I'm going to show you what I've destined for you to be. I've destined for this church to be true in you. And that's what happened. So when he's addressing those other thoughts, he said, that bread didn't bring you to this place of this new glory. But if you receive me, because Jesus, here was my thought. Jesus said, you must eat my bread and you must drink my blood. What was he telling them? They had to receive who he is. They had to receive his words, that his words were life and that his blood. We receive his blood. Even in the meeting earlier, Gary said that if we're covered, he did not say if. He said, we are covered by the blood. How is that, that we partake of the words of Jesus that covers us, covers that sin, and does what then? Builds us up upon his teachings, builds us up upon his doctrines, and then brings us into a place where we can be one with him, be joined with him by the Spirit? Oh, yeah. So this house, this church, who's the head of that church? Jesus Christ. And God deemed it to be so. And the power and the magnitude behind all that, that God foresaw his purpose and proclaimed it, and that Jesus came in humility. I was thinking about this today. Jesus came from the glory of heaven. He left heaven. He took on a body. And in that body was sin and iniquity. Oh, I'm not saying Jesus was a sin or in iniquity. I'm saying in that flesh, in the likeness, the Bible says, of sinful flesh. And what did he do? He nailed it to a cross. What power or what did that do for us? What did that do for all who believed in Jesus? That made us free from sin and death. Which brought us into what? A newness of life in Christ Jesus, a place that we can receive of him and learn to and grow and be brought up just like he is. Because we are to be like him, aren't we? Isn't he the true light? John the Baptist, man, I'm telling you, John had some understanding. He said, I am not that light, but I bear witness of that light. He is the true light. And we look at Jesus as that true light to shine into our hearts and to bring forth his purpose, his word, his doctrine, his teachings. And that right there will raise us up. Have you been raised up by the word of the Lord? Is God continually raising you up? It raised up Peter. It brought him to, oh yeah, there was times where Jesus tells him, all right, you've called me the Christ. That's true. My father gave that to you. But then he says, a little further down the line, he says, I'm going to die. Do you hear Peter saying, okay, son of God, I'll watch you die and I'll stay in with you? Or did he say, no, you aren't going to die. You're not going to die. How can you die? We need you to restore Israel. We need you to bring your kingdom. And God, Jesus says, uh-uh, get behind me. Get behind me, Satan, for you savor the things that be of men and not of God. Did God need to establish further in Peter that his kingdom would only be served or would serve the will and the spirit of God? That it would not serve the will of man? So was there some still servitude of the will of man that God had to address? Oh, yeah. And when he did that, what did it do for Peter? Did it bring him to a place to see the difference between walking in the will of God, letting God be raised up in him, let the word be raised up, and then also the difference being that if he remained in the conscience of the doctrines of men, that it would leaven the whole lump? Jesus told them to beware. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Why? Because they keep for doctrine, they teach doctrines of the commandments of men. And what's the word I'm looking for? Traditions. The traditions that you would do. You'd come to the temple and do these traditions and then you'd be saved. Or the priest would make a sacrifice, right? But that went against everything that Jesus came to do. Because who was the ultimate sacrifice? Jesus. So was Jesus teaching them, hey, you've lived by traditions of men. These doctrines that you've heard are according to men. They're not of God. But I'm starting a new doctrine in you. What I'm starting in you, or God is starting in you, is that I am the Christ, and you've seen it. And I'm going to raise you up in that thought to look towards me and be my Savior. Look towards me and I will be your Savior. He was establishing that rock. Peter then goes on to say, I love this part in 1 Peter 1. And I'm going to read it again. I said this a couple weeks back, but I love this thought, or this word, I should say. Let's see. All right, actually it's Peter chapter 2. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1 is dealing with several things, but towards the end of it, it's talking about being born again of incorruptible seed. Wasn't that Jesus? Didn't Jesus come as the Word of God with an everlasting gospel? And he said, Peter, this is the gospel that is my church. This is my sanctuary. So then he starts to teach him these things, but it starts off in 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Listen to that. If so be that you have tasted, the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as a lively stone? Jesus, right? That's Jesus. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. You also as lively stones. Listen to that. Are you lively stones? Are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on me shall not be confounded. So if we believe in Jesus, who's the hope of our resurrection, right? Not only was Jesus the resurrection, but he's also the hope of our resurrection. That means we are looking to him for salvation. Not only are we looking to him for salvation, we are looking for him to be the Lord of our life, the head of our church, the one who leads us and guides us into all truth. And I think about those disciples. Those disciples were in the world. Peter was a fisherman. Matthew, I believe, was a tax collector. But Jesus comes to them and calls them and separates them from the world and says, come and follow me. Follow me where? Just around the towns? Or was he saying, I'm come in a new tabernacle with a new understanding, with a new word of God, or the word of God, and I am manifest here to bring you out of the world and into my kingdom. Was those the keys that he gave Peter? The words to say, come into my kingdom? And when we enter into his kingdom, what does he do for us? Does he not teach us how to sit with him in that place, in his throne? Oh, yeah. I believe that to be. I believe each one of us are on different levels. And I'm not saying I'm there yet. But I'm saying my hope is that Christ is the resurrection. My hope, Micah, is that he is that church. My hope is that that word would never fail like God said it would. And that we would all come into the truth of Jesus Christ. That's my hope. That's my hope. Because it's our hope. It's what we're joined to. It's what we live by. You said it earlier. We are joined by the word of God. And if that word of God is true, and I believe it is, that means everything the word speaks is true, because it's done from a spirit that does not lie. Oh, man. Come on. So if Jesus says that you are raised in him, guess what? You are raised in him. You may not see it all, but in him he has cleansed you, he has washed you, he's forgiven you of sins, he's delivered you out of the darkness, he's been a light. And he will continue to be so, and we will be joined together with him and through him. This is what our God has done. And he began that work in those disciples when they didn't even know what they were doing. Wait, you hear that? Hear that, Pharisee? You hear that? When they didn't even know the truth. When they were living according to the doctrines of men, Jesus came in because it was his time to come, Micah. And stand in the temple and clear out all those who would lie to his children, who would deceive his children, and take his place in that temple by the Spirit. Man, it's so powerful. Because God said it to be so, Debbie. And that is so awesome to think about that. Wasn't there a time for the children of Israel to be in the wilderness? Who ordained that time? God did. Was there a time that they were blind and they were dull of hearing? Who ordained that? God did. You ever been in a thought, only if I could hear and only if I could see, wait a minute. What if God's will's at work? What if God's purpose is at work? Until you can see him as the Christ. Wait, did you hear that? Peter was separated now from flesh. Oh, yeah, I know it had to take more work in the Spirit to commit, but God started a separation according to the word of the Lord to put him on a foundation, which was Jesus Christ, which was to say that this is a spiritual house, that this is not a temple made with hands. This is not done by the righteousness of the Pharisee, but that this is done by the righteousness of God, that he came and robed himself in flesh and died and raised again that we might be joined with him. You know, I'm reminded of when Pastor Daniel had us deacons come up here on a Wednesday night. Right now, I'm reminded of it. And he began, he began to talk to us, and I'll just speak for myself, but he basically was saying, what did God say to you? How did he reveal himself to you? And I said, well, Christ is the righteous man. And he said, no wonder every bit of unrighteousness has been against you. Think about this. Why? Is the Lord building a righteous house? Oh, yes, he is. Is he building a house that is set on him? Oh, yes. Does it go past the thoughts of the world and the thoughts of the Pharisees and the thoughts of even just the scriptures? Oh, yeah. But that was the battle. The battle is against the word of the Lord. That the truth would be that he is righteous. And that that righteousness could live in me and live in you. That's what that Pharisee wants nothing to do with. They don't want to know Jesus. They ask questions to catch him at his word. They didn't do it to hear and receive of him and be changed. They looked to catch him, to kill him, to put all sorts of, accusation against him. Your disciples come and they eat with unwashed hands. You're sitting with publicans and sinners. Who are you, you son of man? You're dirty, you're filthy, you're a friend of the world. They didn't know who Jesus was. And you know what? They didn't care to know either, did they? They didn't want to know. It was absolutely in opposition to everything they were and who they believed. Because they were righteous in their own eyes. And because they're righteous, or they were righteous in their own eyes, you know what would happen? They wouldn't receive the righteousness of Jesus. And Peter had to come to a place, and he, and God brought him to this place, Micah. He told him, Lord, I'll die with you. I will die. Well, he said, no, you won't. Before the cock crow, you will deny me three times. What happened? The word of the Lord came to pass. The word of the Lord was fulfilled, meaning what God said was true. I mean, this sounds really simple, but we're talking about foreordained, continuing, the word coming to pass. Jesus being sent was a fulfillment of the word of God and the promise. So with Peter, trying to catch my thought there, he said, I'll die with you. He said, no, you won't. And what happened? He denied him three times. And the cock crew. And what happened? Peter knew, Lord, you were right. Did Jesus leave him there? He didn't, did he, Debbie? Did Jesus know he would deny him? Oh, yes. He knew it. He told him he would. I bet you Peter probably was thinking, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'll die with you. Because he said he would. But you know what he had to come to a place to? Every word, Lord. Every word that you say is truth. And now I'm learning that. Now I'm knowing that. And I believe that Peter saw what was working in him by the help of Jesus. And Jesus changed that work within him, that house within him, to receive his spirit. To no longer deny. To no longer accuse, to no longer look at things outwardly, but to bring them to a place where they would receive the Holy Ghost. Wasn't that the promise? The promise is that they would receive the Holy Spirit, and that when the Holy Spirit would come, they would be filled with power. Power from on high. And I believe tonight that God, who has started this work, will finish it. I believe that Peter experienced these things because he put himself out there, because he asked the questions, because he said, I would do this, I'll do this, and tried to stand up for what he believed. But God had to show him, this is only by my work. This is only by my word. And establish for him that at the revealing of Jesus, he would have a strong foundation, a house that God would build. And I believe each and every one of us has a foundation that God is laying, continuing to lay, a house that's being built by God. And we do need to take heed how we build that house. And we're learning. And it's okay. It's okay if we make a mistake. The Bible says that if a man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, that doesn't give us permission to just go off and act a fool. But what it does is it gives us a covering to learn and to do and to be a doer of the work and word of God and be at a place where we can actually hear, receive, and be raised up by him. And know when we're not. Know when we've had thoughts that were against him. And those things will be discerned for us. Otherwise, our house wouldn't be pure. Our heart would still be condemned. But God didn't come to condemn the world. But he came that the world might be saved. That he would actually establish his kingdom in that heart. To praise and honor and glorify God. And you know what? God's done this work. He continues to do this work. And I believe he will continue to work on our behalf as our mediator, like he did for the disciples, to teach us who he is and continue to reveal to us who he is, that we may learn to stand with him, in him, and through him, that he would be our rock. Amen? Amen.